listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This program originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. We're trusting you'll stay with us and that the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to you today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being a part of the family of God. We thank you for the gift of your dear Son that made this possible. We're thankful for all of your blessings to us, for we realize that it's in thee that we live and move and have our being. Now we thank you for our precious congregation, and we're trusting that you'll use us and use this broadcast to make it a blessing to each and to every one. We know that you see them, we know that you love them, we know that you are concerned about those things that concern them. So minister to our congregation, get honor and glory to yourself through our efforts today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you from week to week, and we do trust that it is proving to be a blessing. If so, we would invite you to write us and let us know, and we'll be giving you our mailing address at the close of our broadcast today.
Like a sheep that was lost out in the cold, I had wandered from the safety of the fold. Then as darkness filled the sky, the shepherd heard my feeble cry, and in arms of mercy gently lifted me.
Praise the Lord.
Now
now I'm one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold, and I know his voice, so follow where he goes. In green pastures I am led, by the good shepherd I am led. I'm just one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold.
In this camp there's rejoicing night and day, and a stranger's voice these sheep will not obey. There's one shepherd and one fold, and there's peace for the troubled soul. Oh, what joy to be a sheep in the shepherd's fold.
Praise the Lord.
Now I'm one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold, and I know his voice, so I'll follow where he goes. In green pastures I am led, by the good shepherd I am led. I'm just one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold. Are you one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold?
Rejoice.
Do you know his voice? Do you follow where he goes? In green pastures are you led? Are you willing to be led? Are you one of the sheep in the shepherd's fold? I thank God I'm a sheep in the shepherd's fold.
In the book of Ephesians 5:25-26, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So the subject for today's broadcast is Christ's love for the church. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, we read, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." John goes on to say, in verse 9, "There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Then John was carried away in the Spirit, and he was shown a city having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone, clear as crystal," according to verse 11. Now, some of those who teach a literal kingdom of 1,000 years would have us believe there will be a literal city come down out of heaven and be set down over there in what we call today the Holy Land. If that would be true, according to verse 16, it would be 1,500 miles square, and its height would be the same. Now, that 1,500 miles would probably cover part of Turkey, maybe all of Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, part of Egypt, and possibly the island of Cyprus. So, common sense would tell us that this must be understood as a symbol and not a literal city. Now, I do not believe... the angel lied to John, for he told John that he would show him the bride, the Lamb's wife. And the bride of Christ is the church of God. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The heavenly Jerusalem in this passage of Scripture is just the same as the holy Jerusalem that John speaks of in Revelation 21 and 10. The church coming down from heaven simply means it is the one that Christ said he would build, and not some church built by man, not a denomination, but a church that is indeed heaven-born. When we think of Christ's love for the church, we see that he loves it so much that he gave his life for it. We are told this, again I say, in Ephesians 5 and 25. And we read in Jeremiah 31 and 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Christ's love for the church starts with his love for the unsaved. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5 and 8. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And that's Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul tells us that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made us, or made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. This is the only blood-bought church you will find in the Bible. The new birth, which Christ made possible by his death and resurrection, is what makes us members of the church, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And of Zion, that's the church, it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. So we notice from this passage of Scripture that a person must be born into the church. Yes, salvation makes you a member of the church. We also notice from this passage of Scripture in Psalm 87 that the Lord keeps his own church book, and it is the only one that will be at the judgment bar of God. If your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to Revelation 20 and 15, you will be cast into the lake of fire. All other earthly church books will be burned up, I say. Only the Lamb's Book of Life, which is God's church book, will be at the judgment. And if you want to make heaven your home, your name must be in that book. And you get that name in that book by being saved, by being born again. Christ also suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem to sanctify the people with his own blood, so the scriptures teach us. He also prayed for his disciples to be sanctified. And we read in John 17 and 9, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's John 17, verses 16 and 17. And you will know that the disciples were already converted, for they were not of the world. You are saved from the love of the world, not sanctified from the world. Jesus did not pray for sinners to be sanctified. In John 17:9, we read, I pray not for the world. So he prayed for his disciples who had already been converted, and he prayed that they would be sanctified. So the experience of sanctification is separate and apart from justification or regeneration. Yes, there are two definite works expressed in these scriptures and thoughts. Jesus also loved the church so much, he paid for our healing. Isaiah, the prophet, said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. The apostle Peter said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And that's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Christ's love for the church is a lasting and constant love. It does not change. It is always the same. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So Christ's love for the church is a lasting, it's a constant love, and it does not change. The scripture that I just read is John chapter 13 and verse 1. Christ brings the church into a state of union with himself. The church being the bride of Christ, they are one, just as a man and a woman become one flesh when they are joined in holy wedlock. So Christ and the church are one. And Christ prayed that we would all be one, even as he and the Father were one. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15. Christ has only one bride, and the mother of harlots is not his bride. We read about this woman in Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 and 6. And this harlot woman had across her forehead Mystery Babylon. So that woman in Revelation 17 is not the bride of Christ. If you want to see the bride of Christ, then look in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. There we see this beautiful holy woman clothed with the sun, standing on the moon, a crown of 12 stars on her head, meaning that she was triumphant and victorious over sin, and the 12 stars representing the 12 apostles, and they in turn representing the ministry. My son, despise not the chastening. Christ loves the church enough to correct it. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So we read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Notice also what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Of the four things Paul mentions the Scriptures to be profitable for, three of them have to do with correction. Correction, reproof, and instruction. And so the Word of God will instruct us, the Word of God will correct us, and the Word of God will reprove us. And again, Christ loves the church enough to correct it. Yes, He loves us enough to correct us. And you know, beloved, if we are going wrong, we should be thankful to be corrected. If you were traveling on a highway and got on the wrong road and somebody informed you that you were on the wrong road, you would probably be thankful and grateful for the correction. And if we are going wrong, doing something we shouldn't do, and from a spiritual standpoint, we should be thankful and grateful to the Lord for His correction. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth joyous, right? There's just something about humanity that we don't like to be corrected. But if we're wrong, we need to be corrected, and we should be thankful for the correction. So no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, those who will humbly accept and take the correction, it will prove to be very profitable to you. Now, Christ's love for the church is not limited to this time world. It goes on into eternity. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. That's John chapter 17, verses 24, 25, and 26. Don't you want to be a part of this bride when Christ says to the Heavenly Father, Father, this is my bride. Thank the Lord for His love for the church. Thank the Lord for the privilege of being a part of the bride of Christ. If you are not now a part of the church, you can be, for Christ tasted death for everyone. You become a member by being born again by the Spirit of God, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. So Christ has a bride, and it's made up of the redeemed, and you can become a member of the bride of Christ by being saved from your sins, by being born again. And then, of course, having been born again and become a member of the bride of Christ, you must live a righteous and a godly life and be ready to meet the Lord when He calls for you. Heavenly Father, we pray that You will bless this message to this precious congregation today. We do thank You for the privilege of sharing the gospel with them, and we trust the Holy Spirit has accompanied the message today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Since I gave all to Jesus, to His kingdom I belong. I'm a member of His blood, more strong. When He stretches hand of mercy, He made right my every wrong. Now I sing the great redemption song. I've been freely justified. Now my eyes are fixed on heaven's song.
thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing today's Way of Truth broadcast with you. Now, our mailing address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, or you may listen to a broadcast that you may have missed, for we have an archive there of our broadcast. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin and Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
On the cross crucified, in great sorrow he died, the giver of life was he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected. Calvary. He was wounded for us.